Since its inception in the late 80s, the internet has been a haven for the most disturbed individuals on the planet. People can pretend to be anyone and anything behind a mouse, keyboard, and a screen. Some individuals act nice only to gain your trust, but when you're face to face with them, it's as if they're a completely different person. I'm your host, MC, and this is episode 25 of the MC Horror Podcast. Hello to you, dear person hearing this story. Make yourself comfortable. Grab your best hot chocolate and let me tell you a story. Know that under my air of narrator, I'm about to tell you a moment of my life that cannot be erased from my memory. I also put a lot of forms in my story to try to forget the fact that I am about to open up to thousands of strangers on the internet, which is a very complicated exercise for me. I'm currently 19 years old. The story took place in my 11th grade year when I was 15. You should know that in life, I'm a very introverted person. I don't have self-confidence. I'm very afraid of crowds and strangers, and I avoid physical contact. Even my best friends don't do hugs or labais. That has its importance for later. For those who don't know, in France, you do a labais, which is a cheek kiss to your family and your closest friends. At that time, my parents forbade me to use social networks to preserve myself. So at the start of high school, I created a Discord account. In 11th grade, I joined a Discord server full of nice people. Little by little, I became friends with one of the administrators, and we quickly became quite close. He told me about the hardships that came with managing the server. I supported him no matter what. I was flattered that someone was interested in a person like me. The months go by, and we got closer and closer. I've never been happier to have someone paying attention to me. One day, I learned that a school trip was organized for our class. And guess where we're going? Yup, my friend's town. I told myself that this was a golden opportunity, that I could take advantage of it to meet him like my other friends did with their online friends. I wanted to do the same. I wanted to do like the grown-ups. I then announced to my friend Baptiste that I will come to his town on a school trip. He was very happy to finally meet me. The weeks go by and it's finally time to take the trip. I told Baptiste that I had a visit from his city, but after that, I would have 15 minutes of free time and we could see each other at that moment. He told me that it suits him. He sent me a picture of his head so that I could recognize him. He also tells me that this photo was a bit dated. We also exchanged our phone numbers because I didn't have internet on mine, and it would be silly if we had no other way of contacting each other to find out where the other was. Level 1, a few hours until the meeting. The day starts well enough. My class and I take the bus early to be able to reach the city that we are going to visit. The day before, I informed my group of friends that I was going to meet someone from Discord in real life, that I was so happy, etc. After sharing their concerns with me, they finally told me to enjoy. Baptiste asked me on the way for a photo of me so that he can recognize me. Not being a fan of the idea that a stranger has a photo of me, I politely declined his request, explaining that we are in March and that it's warm outside and that I am probably the only person in town with a scarf and a coat. Even I don't have any photos of myself because it's something that bothers me a lot. Our bus finally arrives and parks. We go to the meeting point to meet our guide accompanied by our teachers. We quickly cross a fun fair, and it seems to me that I shared this detail with our beloved Baptiste. In short, we find our guide, and during the explanation of the course of the visit, I receive a message. And I believe that it is from this moment that I understood that things had taken another turn. I open this message, and what I see freezes my blood. I just see a photo of myself from the back, with a message saying roughly,
"I found you."
I can't remember all the messages verbatim because I changed phones, but I assure you that all my intentions that I put in it are true. Without really thinking, I turn around and notice that there is no one behind me. Nobody. I start to have shivers of fear, a rise of anxiety, and I answer, "Haha, yeah, it's me," smiley face. "But we'll see after the visit." At that time, the only thing I can think of is, what the heck did I just get myself into? We go to the first place of our visit. A few seconds after we stop, I get another message. Another photo of me. Of my back. Creepy, isn't it? I look behind me. Nobody. My anxiety skyrockets. I start to shake. My mind is screaming at me, telling me that I'm in danger and begging me to get out of here. We reach the second place. On the way between the first and second place, I saw him on a bench eating ice cream. Our group passed by him. I then take out my phone and send a message to try to defuse the problem. "I saw you," smiley face. "Now can you wait until I finish the visit, please?" How surprised I was to receive a third message. I think you know the rest. When I opened it, it was still a picture of me. Of course, of my back. At that moment, my friends clearly noticed that something was wrong. But I don't tell them anything. Level 2. Can this day get any creepier? We reached the fourth place to our visit. To my surprise, I did not receive a text. It was a real relief. He finally understood that his attitude was creepy. We come to the fifth place. Still, no text in sight, which comforts me in the idea that it was just a bad start, that he just didn't know how to go about approaching me. And then I turned my head to see with dismay that Baptiste was in our group and that he was now a few meters away from me. Yes, the guy came into a group of high school students. Oh, and a little detail that I intentionally left out. In the photo of him I received, he looked like he was 24 years old. So he took the picture of a minor and stalked her for 1 or 2 hours. Now think back to the fact that he came into a group of high school kids. Are you starting to identify the problem? Just know that we will continue to descend into the depths of creepiness. Hang on to your seatbelts. Let's get back into the story. At the end of the visit to the fifth place, the guide must leave urgently, but warns us that another guide will come to take over and that we will have to wait for her in the cathedral square. While waiting, Baptiste is sitting on a bench a few meters from me, still enjoying his best ice cream, while our teachers leave us unattended to go by theirs. Our second guide finally arrived and we continue the tours. During the rest of the visit, the guy follows us everywhere, getting closer and closer to me. My friends at that time noticed this and tried, like me, not to die of anguish. At the penultimate point, I see that my history teacher is super close to him, and I send him yet another message to dissuade him from continuing and, "Ha ha ha, my teacher is right behind you. You better go." We finally arrive at the last place we were going to visit. It was a huge relaxation for me because finally I was alone. By alone, I mean that our dear Baptiste was no longer with us. Finally, I will enjoy this trip. Finally, I no longer felt in danger. I am no longer in danger. Am I? Level 3. ... Our visit is over, and the teachers leave us our free quarter of an hour. However, they force us to be in groups of four and not to talk to strangers. You know, the usual stuff. But my friends and I knew they knew. I also received a message from Baptiste telling me that he had been caught by my teachers who had threatened to settle it at the police station and that suddenly he was at home waiting for me to finish. I then changed tactics, the ostrich policy. I don't answer him. With my friends, we decide to revisit certain points that we found just magnificent without having the impression of dying of anguish because of our instinct telling us to steer clear. One of my friends suggests going to a bookshop to look at something. So we go. The bookshop formed the corner of two streets and we barely stayed there for 1 minute. Then we went out. I cannot describe to you in words what I felt when I saw Baptiste at the corner of the street in front of me. I had this feeling of being paralyzed, having tachycardia, having difficulty breathing, and not being in control. I was officially no longer able to control my body, caught in a state of tetany, of panic. I look at Baptiste, who is a little older than in the photo. He is 27. I didn't ask him. It wasn't really my priority at this time. My friends are just as shocked as I am, and Baptiste starts talking to me, saying hello, coming over to hug me, and do la bise. Physical contact makes me feel really anxious. He knew that. I had already told him that. He then does la bise to my female friend and shakes the hand of my male friend. At that moment, it was just the two of us and Baptiste. He approaches me and takes me under his arm as if we are love and that we know each other very well and starts to take me I don't even know where, once again, with the physical contact. And that's where my buddy Jonathan approaches me and comes to take me by my waist. Smart move from my friend who makes him understand implicitly that I was already in a relationship and that he had better not try to bang his girl. I can never thank Jonathan enough who had the idea of impersonating my boyfriend so that the guy stops his contacts. Very oppressive for me. He too is aware of my discomfort, and as soon as he sees that Baptiste has ceased his contacts, he removes his hand from my waist. Baptiste then suggests that we go to a bar, telling us that he will pay, that we would just have to enjoy, and he begins to enumerate the list of drinks with alcohol. One of my friends makes him understand that we are, once again, 15 years old, so we wouldn't touch a single drop of alcohol. Not really knowing how to get out of this mess, we followed him to the bar, and we pretext that if the teachers found us in the bar, we were going to get screwed. He therefore suggests going to the terrace, which we accept for lack of an alternative. And there begins an extremely embarrassing situation which will last 5 minutes long. The four of us, which were my friends and I, are at one table while Baptiste is at another table alone with his back to me. That's how we talked, back to back, him asking me questions and me answering them in automatic response mode. I also watch my friends a lot to know what to do. Finally, Jonathan pretends that we must return to the meeting point given by the teachers, so we are getting ready to leave now. He stays seated and tells me that it was a great time and that if he ever came down to my city, we could spend time together. I quickly gabble a response and we get out pretty quickly. When I made it back to my room, I started to cry a lot, being shocked at what happened to me. We go back to our town the next day, then enjoy 2 weeks of vacation. When classes resume during our English class, the teacher arrives and simply tells us this sentence, "I owe you the truth." At that moment, my friends and I look at each other in a "we know" mode. And the teacher explains that during the visit, we were followed by a guy, and that during the change of guide, they went a little further to see if Baptiste was going to approach a specific person to find out who his target was. After a long moment of silence, the teacher told us that they could not find the person in question and that the history teacher had threatened him to leave us alone. Following this encounter, I blocked him everywhere. Right now, I don't know what his intentions were, if it were just some guy who didn't know how to approach me, or if his intentions were more bad. I also don't know what would have happened if Jonathan had not taken me back from his grip if I had been alone. I have suffered heavy after effects from this trauma. The more time that passed, the more I became paranoid when I was in the street. Was he in a corner waiting for me? And at the corner of this street? Then my paranoia became more and more omnipresent to the point that today I have developed an intense anthropophobia. I can no longer leave my house alone without having panic attacks. The presence of unknown people around me causes me respiratory problems, walking disorders, dizziness, etc. I am really thinking of going to a shrink to settle this problem because I have to live as a recluse, barricaded in my room 24 hours a day. The only time I leave my room of the month is to go to the parking lot, take my car, and go see my parents. Take care of yourselves, and above all, never trust people you don't know. If you or anyone you know have a horror story that you'd like to be narrated on here, please fill out the form that's linked in the description below. There are also links to the music used, as well as if you want to submit some feedback to help improve your listening experience. My friends, horror is all around us. We just try our best to avoid it. Once again, I'm your host, MC, signing out. Thanks for taking the time to check out the MC Horror Podcast. Have a great night.